You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny live at Nationals Spring Training. We're at the ballpark of the Palm Beaches in beautiful West Palm Beach on a day so pretty you could put it on a postcard. Big, booming white clouds overhead, blue skies, just an immaculate day. And we're brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today. Let their family build a home for yours. It's been a pretty neat day here at Nationals Spring Training to this point. And looking forward to continuing what is an opportunity, Danny, to get to know some of the new faces here at Nationals Spring Training and get prepared for the 2019 season ahead.
So just sitting down with us, a gentleman we were literally just talking about, which is a little bit awkward. It was mostly good stuff, though. Brian Dozier is sitting down here. Welcome, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I hope it's good stuff you're saying.
No, it was good.
That's usually not the case a lot of times, huh?
Well, remember,
for
new
you guys,
face,
of course, it's great, right?
Yeah, for us, it's always new. New face, new place, so everyone's going to be very nice to you. But what was this offseason like for you? I mean, you're a veteran who hadn't been through this. Obviously, you changed organizations last year in season, going and finishing with Los Angeles, but you'd been in Minnesota from 2012 to 2018. You hadn't had a bite at the apple yet to see what this is like in free agency. Take us through the process.
Yeah, it was rather unique. Heading into the, last year as a whole was completely different to where I stood and my mindset, I guess, once the free agent process hit. Being with Minnesota for so long and then getting traded to the Dodgers and not knocking the Dodgers by any means, but just a little different as far as the platooning and all that that went on over there. But you roll with it. You got a chance to win a World Series championship. And that was all great and everything. Then the process of free agency hit and having a little down year, I guess, so to speak, with a couple of things, issues along the way that I really wanted to find somewhere on a winning ball club that I was going to be comfortable, my wife and I being comfortable, which was a huge thing. And it just seemed like a good fit. Multiple offers as far as multi-year deals, but a one-year deal to kind of get everything back to normal on a winning ball club was something that'd be very good.
When you're debating between, say, a two-year deal somewhere else and that one-year deal here, is it the chance to win a World Series that puts you over the top? Because we talk all the time about there are other teams in town and other sports. They've got to pay a tax because they haven't been good in a while.
We stink tax.
The Redskins want to bring in a player.
Right.
But they haven't been to the top of the mountain since I was in a diaper. They got to pay a little more. Are the Nationals one of those teams maybe in at a point where they're so respected that you might leave either a little money or a second year on the table because you feel like the opportunity's too good?
Yeah, and the thing about it that I don't think everyone really realizes is when you start chasing the most money, I think that's a really bad way to look at life. And that's not for me. It's more of being comfortable, an organization that does things the right way, that provide, crazy amounts of everything for families. And all that plays into the fact. It's not like, okay, highest bidder go. Some people are like that. I don't agree with it. But for me personally, it's not about that. And the Nationals just seem like a really good fit for me and my career, me and my family, obviously. And then you look up and they're a winning ball club. You see what they've done the past 6 or 7 years, a hiccup last year, but still a really good team that are adding people. That was a big factor for myself that you saw Mike going out and getting all kind of top-tier talents to put this team together, and that's a huge thing for me.
Brian Dozier sitting down with us here in Nat Spring Training. Grant and Danny in West Palm Beach. Let's go into last year a little bit. Three previous years. I mean, it's not like you're playing in a bandbox either. You're not playing at Coors Field, hitting mid-30s, 42 homers, the career high there. Last year, not the same for you. What was that, and how do you get back to what you were not that long ago?
Yeah, I'm a guy that I love playing. I love being on the field. I think that's pretty says a lot. Just never being on the DL in my career, knock on wood, all y'all please. But I went through a couple of things last year, started to develop some habits in my swing, trying to overcompensate with some left knee issues and stuff, that it was kind of a snowball effect. But me, and stubborn as I am, I've always feel like I can do something, whether it might not be the homers or anything, just something within the game to help the team win. And that's always kind of been my personality, and I kind of to a fault a little bit per se, let that get in my head a little bit and still continue to grind, which is a good thing a lot of times, which can be sometimes a bad thing. But I learned from it, and I got healthy, and everything's good.
Reading between the lines a little bit, and I think at the time the thought maybe was a lot of guys would have just gone on the DL, right? Or you
right.
probably could have, and for you it's important to be available. What's the difference between maybe playing through pain and playing through injury? Because you know your body better than anyone, but you're not 22 anymore either. You know, you're a little over 30, and you probably have aches and pains typically, but that was different than that, I'm sure.
Yeah, my body is – I take very good care of my body, and that's why I don't feel like I'm – 31, if that's the getting towards the older age of baseball, I don't feel that way by any means. But when it comes to bone bruises and structural stuff and everything, you can't hide from that. And I encourage people all the time to play through injuries. I think it's a must at this level, to a certain extent, I guess. If you feel like you're maybe letting down the team, that's a chance to kind of regroup or whatever. But you know, being in Minnesota and on the uphill battle and a chance to win the division, and after going the postseason 2 years ago, then coming in, you feel like you got to be the guy, and you feel like you got to lead by example and play through things, which is a great thing. And I've always done that. I take a lot of pride in it. So,
where do you want to hit in the order? Do you care? Are you a guy like Mr. His Lordship, Mr. Dozier, if you please, will be hitting fourth today, sir? Or is there something else to it?
Well, I really, first and foremost, I could really. It really doesn't matter to me. I've always, throughout my career, been a leadoff guy.
You've led off a ton, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, I would say probably 95% of the time in Minnesota, sometimes hitting two. I think that's just with my managers, Gardenhire and then Molitor. They loved someone at the top of the order that could go 1-0 real quick, or extra base hit guy at the top of the order and run some bases. And not necessarily like your prototypical leadoff hitter with the slaps and singles and stealing a ton of bases, all that kind of stuff. So I think I just got used to that. I loved it. One of my favorite stats in baseball is creating runs. I love a guy at the top of the order who can do that. And Molly loved it, and that was the whole thing throughout my career is kind of at the top of the order to create havoc on the bases and jumping them 1-0 early. So
that second baseman, Brian Dozier, on Grant and Danny getting to know one of the new faces here in the nation's capital. You mentioned a stat that you like. How analytically savvy have you become with this movement now in baseball? It's funny, depending on the guy that sits here. The last couple of years, if we brought something that up to Daniel Murphy, he'd laugh at us. But then there's guys that are looking at their, you know, after every single pitch, you know, their launch angle and different things with their swing. What do you believe in? What don't you? And how involved in your prep is all of those things?
I think the game's kind of gotten consumed in a lot of sabermetrics. To the point where I hope it doesn't get to where you take away the feel of the game. As far as what I look at and all that kind of stuff, I think it is, a lot of things are good for the game and a lot of things not so much. But one of the things I kind of look at more than ever is the runs created. And what I mean by that is that people that listen might not know is just offense is about scoring runs. And it's all whether you drive them in or you score them, either way. And how you get to that point is where the sabermetrics come into play and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's when you can hone in on some of that, whether it is by a home or whether it is taking extra bases or whatever it is, all that's gathered into one. I don't
stat.
Even – it might be WTO. I don't even know what they call it now. But whatever it is.
WRC.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever it
Waited
is.
Weighted runs created.
Weighted runs created.
So that's kind of really all I look at. And however you can create the most runs and it's not just straight offense. It has a lot to do with base running and spend a lot of time, I guess, creating shortcuts because I'm not the fastest guy, but I try to be very intelligent, I guess, on the base paths. And any way to a chance to create more runs for our team to win, that's what it's all about.
Couple off-field things. What are you eating on your cheat day?
Yeah.
And give me a show that you're watching now as a binger.
Yeah, so my lifestyle with what I put in my body has changed. It probably changed about 5 years ago. People make fun of me a lot, but it's all health stuff. I don't cheat too much.
You really have a good body.
Well, I appreciate that,
yeah,
man.
Very good body.
Thank you. I really don't. The I guess I can say it on here. I love craft beer. That's kind of my
reasonable thing to love.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing. But as far as eating and stuff, I don't ever put anything.
You'd rather drink the calories?
I'd rather drink them. Yeah.
About
so that's
that?
Kind
Not
of my.
Guy.
If I'm going 90%, 10%, 90 being the good side, then 10% is just the craft beer, and that's it.
No, you're not like Victor the Vegan, are you? You're not like
no vegan
with no shadow or anything like
well,
that.
Well, no added sugars, no dairy, none of that crap you put in your body. It's all healthy stuff.
Wow, so going out to dinner with you would not be that fun.
It's not. My wife hates it, and she's pretty a health freak too, but she definitely loves to cheat every now and then.
So
but
if we went out to dinner, would you? We all ordered desserts. Like you wouldn't eat.
No,
like a brownie.
You know, every now and then I'll find some no dairy ice cream that's basically protein ice cream that you hardly ever find. At but other than that,
sure it's delicious.
Yeah, but I mean, if it calls for it, I do. Thanksgiving, my mom will make some cornflake candy, which is kind of that's my favorite, and I have to eat it. My mom cooked it and all that kind of stuff. So, other than that, I hate to say it, but food is fuel, and that's the only thing I think.
That's a Southern boy right there, the cornflake candy.
My
grandmother made the same thing.
I
thought it was just us.
It's not an accent. It's like a draw. He's got my favorite, like, Matt McConaughey thing going on the team already.
A little bit, yeah.
Number one.
It's like, hey, ladies.
What
like,
show are you binging?
Right now, it's You.
Dude, what a mind bleep that show is.
You know what? We go back and forth. We're almost done with it, but it's like.
How weird is that show?
It's like, oh, I love it, and then the next episode is like, oh, this is so stupid, but then it's like. Okay, well, I got to watch the next one after the last one ended.
Oh, you've invested,
so.
Yeah.
Should
yeah.
I continue? I've watched three, and I don't know if I should keep going.
You should keep going just because it's got your attention. You got to figure out how crazy that guy is.
He's nuts.
Yeah, and yeah, but that's kind of the way we watched it last night, and I don't know. The funnest thing for me, I hate to say this, though, but I'm a big Bachelor guy. I love the Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Oh, my God.
Yes!
That's
Are you watching this season?
Of course I am.
So, oh my God, we're so late, but I have so many thoughts. I have so many questions. All right, here's my.
He does a top five
My wife's in a draft right now, so.
Oh, okay. Take me away.
Oh, I'm so happy that you said that. Okay, so I want Hannah G and Cassie to be the final two.
Yeah.
And I think Cassie should win.
Yeah.
If he's with Hannah G, I think she'll be happy. I couldn't stand Hannah B. I was furious that she was still on the show. So the final four is fine. What Tayshia did last week was inexcusable.
I agree with that. It's very inexcusable. I'm not a drama guy. I hate drama. I despise drama. But that is the show that's the ultimate drama. It's
so
like,
good.
It's yeah, it is so good because it's so stupid,
so
right?
It's. Well, did you like Tayshia before she pulled that?
I did. I did, but she went down on my list pretty good.
You and me too. Who's your winner?
I say Cassie. I like Cassie since the very beginning.
My new favorite Nat. Oh, my God, I got a favorite Nat. It's great.
I'm
Brian
so
Dozier,
boys
and
girls. You don't know what you just did, Brian.
On Grant and Danny. Brian, thank you for the time.
You got it, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you,
buddy. Thank you.
You're listening to The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Danny did make it through the snow, through the ice, to Florida. We're very excited about that. We're also excited to be joined right now by Patrick Corbin, now of the Washington Nationals, second time on the show. So we were there the big day of the introductory press conference. That's a little different, though. That's kind of out of your element. You got the dress shirt on. You're walking around meeting a million people.
Everyone's staring at you.
I feel like we're now in your wheelhouse where you're just in team-issued gear, coming off of a field sweaty, playing some baseball.
Yeah, for sure. This is about the team here. I'm excited to be here. It's been great the first week or so and just ready for the season.
How tired are you now?
Are you tired of yourself? Tired of you
are you?
Are you
over yourself? No, of PFPs, of doing pickoffs and stuff. Are you ready to face live hitters?
We faced live hitters once yesterday, so that was something different for us. Games are coming up here in a couple of days. So the good thing here is we go out there, we do a couple PFPs, we get it right, and then move on to something else. So it's not it's not crazy. We're not on our feet all day, so
good.
That's always good. We do things for a reason here, it seems like, and I think that's what every player wants.
29-year-old lefty Patrick Corbin on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Have you gotten a feel yet for the other guys on the staff and kind of how they go about their work? I know it always is eye-popping to people to see Max Scherzer those first couple of days. Like when he did his bit where he sings the anthem to himself before he starts his throwing to kind of go through all the motions exactly as they'll be on a game day. Had you seen that before? Were you like, what is this guy doing?
What is this crazy person doing?
I was right next to him warming up because we were alternating innings. So I did.
Were you surprised?
I did see him do it, and at one point I thought I should join him just because I didn't know what to do. But I just kept going with my routine and then kind of finished up. But he might have been singing it to himself.
For you, and Patrick Corbin is with us here on Grant and Danny, best year of your career last year, right? No secret. You'd never topped 200 strikeouts before. You were towards the top of the league. The aforementioned Max Scherzer, only a couple guys ahead of you. But 200 innings pitched, 240 Ks, ERA in a pretty good hitter's park at 3.15. What clicked for you kind of all together, and how do you carry that forward?
Mm-hmm. I think I wanted to get back to my first full season in the big leagues where I attacked the strike zone, got ahead of batters, and It wasn't like I was trying to strike out more guys this year. I wanted to just simplify, get back to that, have a quality first pitch strike, whether it was breaking balls or my fastball. So that was something I thought I did very well my first year that I wanted to bring back. And then being able to get the two strikes and finish guys off, and that was just something that we did last year, and just try to continue off that.
For a guy like you, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like you're playing for peanuts last year, but you make such a big jump in salary, and you get an awesome contract, and you were so sought after. I know myself, just being conscientious, I would feel more pressure or feel a need to perform. What is that like now? It was a little free and easy. You've been in Arizona forever. They knew everything about you. How do you try not to, every time you take the mound, prove the Nationals that they were right? You know, in February and March.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think as a big league pitcher, you try to win every game. You try to prepare yourself each and every day, no matter how much money you're making. And that's just kind of how I'm going to do. I'm going to come in, do the same thing I did last year, work hard, go out there, compete every fifth day, and try to get better. I think there's always room for improvement. And to be on a staff like this where guys have done it for a while, it's going to be helpful to learn from them, learn from our catchers that were brought in, and everybody that's involved. So I think you continue to do what you're good at, and everything will work out for itself.
Your slider is so nasty. It's kind of evil. It's shadowy. It's filthy. It's really, really – it's mean, I think, at times. Everything kind of works off that, right? Just the threat of that at times can make that fastball pop a little more, or, you know, get guys kind of off balance. What's the balance, though, for how much you want to throw it? You know what I mean? You kind of always have to keep the weapon – is that your finisher? It's almost like your Mortal Kombat finishing move. You see what I'm getting after here? Like, what's the balance between throwing your best pitch and the threat of your best pitch?
Yeah, well, I think we added a slower breaking ball last year or 2 years ago, halfway through a year, and it helped throw that pitch a little less, and just was different. Something in the lower 70s that kept them off balance and was able to throw a fastball after that or throw that good slider. So I think it all goes down and comes back to getting strike one, getting ahead, and then you don't have to throw the pitch as much. So you just get ahead, put the hitter on the defense, and work from there.
How's married life so far? You got married in the off season. Yeah. A lot of changes personally. How's that going?
It feels the same. We've been together for 9 years now, so been living together for a long time. So we actually just bought a house, I think, yesterday here. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah.
You're just leveling up into adulthood, man. Did you get life insurance too?
That's a big expense for you to basically have no involvement whatsoever, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, having just got married myself, I could be there every day and I'll still have no involvement. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you were with her, it's still nothing that you necessarily picked out or wanted. So it doesn't matter that you weren't there, but that's a big step. That's awesome.
Yeah. We're excited. She's wanting to be closer to water. So I think this will be a spot we'll be for a while and see how it goes.
If we're going out for dinner tonight, you, me, Danny, and Dar, and you're not eating for necessarily health, but you're just eating for what you'd enjoy, what meal are you ordering?
I love going to new places and stuff like that. We actually went to probably steak, I would say. But we went to 1,000 North, I believe. It's kind of up in Jupiter area, and very good restaurant. And I go to open the door, and Ricky Fowler's behind us, so that was kind of something.
That's super cool. Neat.
Yeah, it was like our first meal out here. So we go to sit down, and then Derek Jeter walks in, and he's sitting at that table behind us. So I was like, all right, this has to be good.
So, that's where we got to go for dinner.
That's not bad. Do you get wowed? Yeah. Like, were you like, oh, my God, Ricky Fowler? Because I'd be like, I don't care about that guy at all. Oh, my God, that's Patrick Corbin, right? Do you get wowed?
Not really. I don't even know who would – I'd be like, oh, my God, I got to go talk to him.
What about actors or actresses? Like,
I don't know. I just athletes. Don't think that's my personality, I guess. So I would just – I mean, it was just I was more excited that this food's going to probably be pretty good.
Yeah, I got it.
It's going to be a nice step. What about TV shows? Another thing we've been asking guys is there anything that you're watching right now you're binging
so
on?
Much downtime.
I just finished up Ozark. That was pretty good. So
season good two or you got
yeah, season okay. two. Yeah, so looking forward for that to keep going. But I'm excited about Game of Thrones, so that's my favorite show of all time. Good. So just can't wait for that to
You caught up? You're up to date on everything?
Yeah.
Who's
yeah.
going to sit the Iron Throne when the whole thing's over? If you got to put – because there's betting odds on this
yeah.
kind of stuff. You got to put your wager now right now who wins.
I mean, Jon Snow is the main character. I would say probably him.
What about Arya Stark?
Arya Stark's not getting great odds.
Okay.
She's a disciple.
I don't watch the show.
She's a disciple of the Faceless Man, as you know. The Faceless God.
This is his move. I just talked The Bachelor with
Brian Dozier.
That's more what I like.
Yeah.
Danny's more of a Game of Thrones
this
guy.
This is me striking back right now.
Yeah. I've never seen The Bachelor, so.
Good for
You're
you.
Missing out.
Good for you.
You and the wife especially. She might really like it.
You eat steak and you watch Game of Thrones, Patrick Corbin.
Yeah, for sure.
Patrick, it's been great having you on the show, buddy, and we are pumped to have you here in Washington, D.C. this year. It's going to be cool. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for him.
Yep.
Patrick Corbin on Grant and Danny on The Fan. Matt Adams last year became a fan favorite here in Washington, and we were all disappointed when the team moved him to St. Louis as part of what was a kind of mini fire sale after things went off the rails. But here's the good news. Matt Adams is back, and the team gets to try again this year. I saw you in the clubhouse today, and I said, hey, did you kind of have a feeling at all this was how this was all going to play out? And as you join us now, why don't we start there, Matt? You leave, you go to St. Louis. You'd been there before as well. You get a reunion in Washington now to follow suit. Was there a master stroke here, a master plan?
No, I think it's part of the game. Didn't know really what was going to happen. Showed up to the field thinking I was – going to play in that game that night, and then got called into Davey's office and told I was heading out to L.A. to meet with the Cardinals. But went in the off season just focused on, you know, getting ready for the upcoming season, not knowing where I was going to be. And, you know, the Nats came calling, and, you know, we struck a good deal. And I'm not the guy to kind of wait around. I love it here. Fell in love with it last year, and have a pretty good understanding that we're going to have a pretty good team this year.
There's probably a school of thought. There are agents who would tell you, hey, we got this offer. Let's see if we could do better. You really did. You're not joking. I mean, you got the offer. You took it. You came back. I don't know if that says something about the Nats or your personality. Why are you different than a lot of guys? I mean, look how long some of these free agency deals are lingering.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it goes for both of us. You know, we developed a pretty good relationship last year and a pretty honest relationship. And going into it, you know, I want to know where I'm going to play so I can put that behind me and focus on getting ready for the season. And, I mean, I signed, I think, a week earlier than I did the first time I signed with Washington. So, I mean, I just got to trust what my agents are telling me. And, you know, I liked what I was hearing. So I wanted to come back and be a part of this special team that we got this year.
What do you think your role is going to be kind of going forward?
I don't know. I think I'm just going to be ready to go when my name's called upon. You know, Zim's our guy at first, and, you know, give him a blower every once in a while. And if they need me in the outfield again, you know, I'm going to get some work in out there down here, doing some drills and stuff with Bobby Henley, and just see how it goes. But right now I'm taking it day by day, and whenever my name's called upon, I'm going to be ready to go.
Matt Adams back with the Nationals and back on Grant and Danny after – a little cameo in St. Louis at the end of last season, joining us on 106.7 The Fan. Something I always wonder about, and you mentioned this, I want to delve into this with a guy who's kind of been through it. Is it difficult? You know, there are 80-plus free agents in baseball still available to sign to get ready for the year when you're a free agent. Like what guys like Harper and Machado have been going through. They're showing up to camp late because the prevailing thought is, well, it's just baseball. It's riding a bike. They'll get back. They get their 2 weeks. They play in a couple games. They'll be fine. Is there more to it than that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, the chemistry that you build with the guys. I think, you know, winning teams, you know, they come into camp from day one and they start building that chemistry with everybody. You know, the way that, you know, the middle guys get to know each other and, you know, the way they turn double plays together, the way the catchers and pitchers work together, the way guys feel comfortable in the batting order, everything goes into, you know, into account in that kind of standpoint. But, you know, I think it's not the player's fault. I think there's a little loophole in the whole free agency system that, you know, needs to be fixed. And I think everybody would attest to that. We got too many, you know, guys that deserve to be on teams by now, out there waiting to figure out who they're going to go play for this season. And that's, in the end, it's gonna hurt baseball.
But then you got Machado, who did eventually get his $300 million. So at the highest end of the market, like if Bryce gets $325, that shows some health in terms of the big guys. But then you got guys that aren't those 26-year-old superstars that are getting phased out. Like, not to get personal with your salary, but I was shocked last year with how much of a deal the Nats got on you with power, left-handed. Like, there's a whole tier of players that are getting less now. What's changed? What's happening?
I don't want to harp on it. I think that's a question for, you know, the owners and, you know, the front office people to answer that. Why the market has changed a little bit, but I think something's got to change because there's too many MLB ready players that, you know, look at Lucas Duda signing a minor league deal this year. Like, that guy's a proven big leaguer that deserves to be on a team and not signing a minor league deal. It's just, I don't know, I don't want to get too deep into it because it's not my place to speak on it. You know, that's for the agents and the owners and all that kind of stuff to deal with. But I think definitely something's got to change to help these guys out.
Matt Adams with us here on Grant and Danny live in West Palm Beach. You've been on some good teams. And last year, the expectations, rightfully so, for this Nats club were high because a lot of talent, including yourself. What do you want to be different this year to get back to playing the base kind of baseball that you guys know you're capable of playing?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've seen it the first couple of days in full squad workouts, just paying attention to the little details. You know, whether we're doing, you know, bunt plays or pop-up priorities, you know, be involved, be convicted in doing the drills right. And, you know, that's the message from the top down so far this year, and it's honestly awesome. You know, the vibe in camp this year compared to last year is, you know, we're hungry. We want to go out there and win. And if we do something not right the first time, then we're going to do it again until we get it right. And I think that goes a long way in just, you know, focusing on doing the little things right. You know, paying attention to detail, like I said earlier, and, you know, just putting good product out on the field and guys that are ready to play. And I think Davey's message this spring training has been, you know, we got to come together. We got to be there to pick each other up. And, you know, it's, like I said, the vibe here this year compared to last year is awesome.
Matt Adams on Grant and Danny. Well, we're pumped you're back, and it's good to see you again. We'll see you in D.C. after you guys are done camping.
Yeah, absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Yeah,
106.7,
no
the
Thank
fans'
you,
coverage of the Washington Nationals live from West Palm Beach continues with skipper Davey Martinez to start next hour in a moment. Final hour of Grant and Danny from West Palm Beach, beautiful Florida, where the Nats are training and baseball is back. We are live spring training coverage brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today and let their family build a home for yours. Pleased to be joined right now by the skipper of the Washington Nationals entering year two, Davey Martinez. You know, a year ago we're chatting with you. You're entering your first camp. You're doing all this for the first time. Just how much different do you feel with the experience of a season, the pluses, the minuses behind you, coming back to the well here for a try now as a veteran?
Yeah, you know, it feels pretty good, only because I know the core guys of this team and their characters. And, you know, we built such a good, strong relationship last year. And coming in here, everybody seems a little bit more relaxed. They know what I want. I know what to expect from them. So add the veterans guys that we added. You have the Pat Corbins, the Dozers, Anibal Sanchez, the two catchers, Suzuki Gomes. You know, Riz was at work this winter and got the pieces that we needed. You know, and we feel good going into spring training.
Biggest lesson for you taken from last year, what you learned last year, applying it to this year?
You know, for me, honestly, it was really about overcoming adversity. As you guys are well aware, we had a lot of injuries. We had a lot of, you know, we made some base running mistakes and stuff, but staying true to who I am. I think the players learned a lot about who I really am, and through most of the season, all the season, you know, my objective was, hey, to stay positive. You know, as a player, I valued that in coaches and managers, you know, the guys that really stay positive, you know, the Bobby Coxes, you know, learning from Joe Maddon, those guys, you know, who really, you know, stayed positive through adversity, really helped me out a lot going into this year.
Injuries you can never expect, but normally when you look at a roster, if you know baseball, you kind of say, I got a good feel for what this team should be, and there weren't many weaknesses on your team last year. The thing that you can't see when you look at that roster are some of those little things, though, right?
Absolutely.
The number of just egregious base running mistakes, those tiny little parts of the game where something would happen wrong and you go, how? I mean, these guys are all star caliber players. What's happening? And I'm sure that drove you nuts and people are questioning you because of it. There seems like an emphasis this year on that. At what point into last year did you say, well, wait a second, why are we screwing these things up? This is first page of the baseball manual stuff.
Yeah, you know, for me, it happened all too often. And that's something that, you know, I assessed over the wintertime. I really did, and wanted to hone in on what do we really need to focus on? What do we really need to get better on? And that was part of it. You know, when I look back, which I did a lot this winter, look back at games and especially one running games, you know, the base running, you know, and I'm not talking just making outs on the bases, but also advancing when we should have, that we didn't do, you know, if we would clean those up, we would win 5 extra games. You know, and that's huge. You know, when you're playing for a division title, that those things are really huge. You know, so we talk about all the little things. That's part of it. The defense. You know, not being able to turn double plays. You know, when need be, giving teams extra outs when we shouldn't have. You know, those things we got to clean that up if we want to play consistently to win. Those are the little things we need to do.
Nats manager Davey Martinez with us here on Grant and Danny, live in West Palm Beach. Dave, there aren't many competitions, but there are some. I mean, you got a lot of guys where you look around, you have a pretty good idea of who's going to be where. Give me some of the competition spots and what's up for grabs here, spring training before the club, you know, heads back north.
Right. You know, for me, you know, you got the fifth starter spot, really. You know, we signed Hellickson back, which, you know, he's got the upper hand, but it's still, you know, it's still up there. I mean, you know, because we got depth, so we could do a lot of different things, which is kind of nice. You know, I want Robles to understand that, you know, center field is not his. That Michael Taylor's here, and I want Michael Taylor to understand that he needs to go out there and play, you know, and do well, you know. But having those two guys, regardless, makes us better out there and on defense. So, you know, those two guys, you know, they're going to both get a chance to play. Which one starts, which one doesn't start, I mean, it doesn't matter. They both understand that they're going to play a lot.
You didn't mention the catcher spot there, which tells me that you've got a pretty good plan. What is that plan?
That plan, you know, I'm going to, you know, I think that's going to really take care of itself based on starting pitching. You know, which guys like to throw to who, which guy fares. You know, Suzuki's been in this league, and there's a lot of guys. One thing I know about Suzuki, if he hits a guy really well, he really hits him. So, you know, we'll pay attention to all those little things and see which guys need a break for 2 or 3 days. And we got, you know, another veteran catcher that can go in and step in for 2 or 3 days and play in a row.
Every single team that Bryce Harper would be on is better because he's there. I mean, he's that caliber of player. A Davey Martinez managed Nationals team is no different. Are there any things that are a little easier without a superstar player or a $300 million contract in terms of, like, I don't know, maybe you could, but if you're doing a drill today and a guy does a drill wrong and you say, do it again. We've had two players already say, this year, we're doing things till we get it right. I don't know if you can tell Bryce to do a drill over again. Maybe you can. I don't know what it's like to be a manager. But is it a little bit easier as a manager to not have that type of figure on the team at all?
Well, you know, if he wants to be – if that player really is buying into what it takes to win and be part of the team, he'll do those things. You know, Bryce – would do those things. You know, we built a really good relationship to where, you know, he would have done those things. He really would have, you know. And, you know, furthermore, who wouldn't want a Bryce Harper, you know? But, like I said, these are the little things that I want to make sure that these guys understand that it matters, you know. And everybody talks about the big picture, which is, you know, 30 teams trying to win the World Series. How do we do that? You know, how do we do that every day? And for me, it's about winning your day. You know, let's win today. You know, let's focus on one thing, and let's win that portion of it today. And if we can do that, and consistently do that, we're going to win a lot of ball games.
Bullpen management, you've got a really good situation right now because you got Doolittle back healthy in the ninth, but he's got his issues that you can't throw him all the time, and you've got Trevor Rosenthal coming off injury but throws 100, pitch the eighth. Bear Claws killed you guys. Now he comes over from Miami. Maybe he helps you in the seventh. What did you learn last year about, like, usage of guys in certain games when maybe you stay away or you go to guys, which games you need someone touching all those buttons? And what's the plan to make sure those guys are available on the right nights?
Yeah, but my plan is to make sure that, you know, like you said, we start from the back end of the bullpen, Doolittle. You know, make sure that he's available as much as possible, really. And also take care of him. And we, you know, if Trevor being healthy, we can do that. You know, he can close out games. He's closed out many games in high leverage situations. Bear Claw, same. I mean, Bear Claw just closed out games. You know, in a perfect world, you know, he pitches, you know, the seventh, sixth or seventh inning. And then you got, you know, now you got a guy like Suero. You got a guy like Matt Grace who helped us tremendously last year. You got another guy in Justin Miller who came up and did well. And you got a couple guys like, you know, veteran guys like Hoover that's pitched in bullpens before that, you know, has done well so far and has thrown the ball really well. You know, you got, you know, if you want a long guy, you got Henderson Alvarez who's really throwing the ball well already, and we'll go from there. But, you know, the key is to keep these guys healthy. Look, in a perfect world, last year, and this, you know, I say this time and time again, when you're 10, 12, 15 games up, you can allow, you know,
you
to give days off.
Yeah.
You have the luxury, you know.
Easier,
but when you're fighting.
You guys were kind of scratching and clawing early.
Early. You know, we were 8 games back at one time, and, you know, I can remember getting guys up and say, man, I really wish I didn't have to use them today, but we got to win a game. You know, we can't fall behind.
It doesn't matter that it's May 17th.
Exactly.
It might as well be September 19th.
Exactly.
Go 8.5 back right now.
Right. So, I mean, that was part of it, you know, and hopefully this year and the emphasis is, hey, we want to get off to a good start. You know, we play teams within our division.
The Mets a bunch early, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, and, you know, I think, hey, if you want to be the best, you got to play the best. And right now, they want, you know, on paper, they're one of the best teams to beat. You know, the team to beat.
So we mentioned superstar Bryce Harper. There's another one sitting about 25 feet to our left, doing some interviews right now. Juan Soto, David. The historical comparisons are a who's who. It's the Ken Griffey Juniors. It's the Mantles. It's guys that don't do this at 19 years old. What's the best way to prevent a kind of that sophomore slump that's famous? It's claimed a lot of guys. Doesn't derail a career necessarily, but it's hard. And also, you know, still allow that kind of incredible talent to thrive. A guy that's that comfortable that early in the big leagues.
Yeah, you know, for me, we don't. His ceiling is really high, as we know that, you know. But, you know, like coming to spring training, I told him, I said, I want you to focus on a couple of things. It's not about anything about hitting. I said, one, we're going to get better at defense. You know, I want to challenge you to win a Gold Glove. And two, you're going to be a really good base runner. Let's focus on that stuff, you know. And as you know, and everybody else know, I said, the key for you now this year is to accept your walks. End of story. You're going to hit, but you got to accept your walks. You know, don't, you know, it might be a little bit different for you. They might want you to chase a little bit more. But if you accept your walks and get them in the strike zone, you'll hit.
Go into that a little bit. Meaning, is it because of pressure, wanting to do too much, you expand your zone a little bit?
Exactly. I mean, it could happen. You know, all of a sudden they start not wanting to pitch to you.
Yeah.
And we've seen it with Bryce numerous times.
You were in Chicago when Joe Madden walked him 8,000 times in a series.
19 times.
Thanks a lot, by the way. You ruined about 2 months of Bryce Harper after that. But it's true. Some guys don't want to allow – a base isn't as good as four.
Right.
Right?
Right.
In their mind.
Right.
But walks are a good thing. It's like a food that you found out – like, I love Brussels sprouts now. Used to hate Brussels sprouts. Nothing wrong with Brussels sprouts, Davey.
They're fine.
Hey, let's get him to have 110 Brussels sprouts then. How's that?
There you go.
I'll take 110 Brussels sprouts right now. Lead the league in Brussels sprouts. I'd be happy with that. As far as the division goes, there's not another division like this. You
all
can't
a
find
sudden.
A division in baseball. We were talking about this on the show, where three teams want to win the damn thing, let alone you got you guys, let's say in the mid-90s in wins, the Mets make a trade for Cano and they bring in one of the better relievers in the game. The Braves have more young pitching than anyone in the sport. You're defending champions. And the Phillies, if they get Bryce or without Bryce, Realmuto, Jean Segura, it's loaded. There's no division like this. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's certainly going to battle test you if you can get through it.
Absolutely. I mean, this division is definitely tough, you know, and we got to be ready for the challenges that come with it, you know. And like I told them, hey, everybody's going to be good from the first day on. I mean, we play each team in our division 19 times. We got to be prepared and ready to play every single day, and that's been the focus. And like I said, doing little things. Hey, we're going to win a lot of games this year. For me, I told him, I said, we might not score 7, 8, 9 runs in a day, but we're going to win those one-run games. We're going to figure out a way to one-run games. And how do we do that? Better base running, better defense, because defense always makes better pitching. You know, I truly believe that. And really play the game the way it's supposed to be played every single day.
Davey, appreciate the time, man. Good luck to you. Keep running camp.
You got it, Danny. Hey,
thank you, dude.
Glad you guys are out of cold weather.
I know. No kidding.
A couple days in the sun. Right. Davey Martinez, the skipper of the Nationals, on Grant and Danny here on the bench.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.